just get my bearings here if you don't have a... Everybody got their seat? Okay. Yeah. Let me pray. Father, I thank you that we can be here. We're not here by accident. We're not here because we planned it. We're here because you planned it. And you have spoken to us, and I pray that you will continue to speak, and we will hear, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would also do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I'm in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 this morning. I like that picture. Hope it fits with the sermon. Let me read the verses before I get distracted. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Hier is die Afrikaans. Gaan in deur die nou poort. Dis nie nou poort daar bo nie. Gaan in deur die nou poort, want breed is die poort en wyd is die pad wat na die verderf lei, en daar is baie wat daardeur ingaan. Want die poort is nou en die pad is smal wat na die lewe lei, en daar is min wat dit vind. I am so glad that Yopi is here because this is my opportunity. The main takeaway for today should be that trail running is biblical, road running is not. Yeah, so there's your first application. Easy sermon. Enter by the narrow way. You know, we must remind ourselves when we come to these kinds of scriptures, we must remind ourselves that the Bible is written not to us, but it is written for us, right? And especially when Jesus uses figurative language like this, we sometimes miss culturally what he was talking about, especially because we no longer live in cities with gates, right? Physical gates, generally speaking. And so we're going to have to just double-click on this a little bit and ask ourselves, the first here is those to whom this was written. Remember, it's written to someone specific. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew specifically, is written initially to the Jews. And they would have a very specific understanding, but it has been recorded, inspired by the Holy Spirit to be recorded for us. And there's something in it for us, even today. So I'm going to take some time this morning and look at this. What is he talking about in the figurative language? What would they understand? Because enter by the narrow gate. I mean, if I was to list some of the verses which are less popular, I'd say enter by the narrow gate. Because Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I am the gate. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, so it's quite an intolerant scripture, isn't it? He's talking about two ways, but he's making very clear only one of them works. Only one of them is life. And so we come to these kinds of verses, but we should let Jesus be Jesus speaking to us. Let us put on our ears and let's hear. I'm not going to preach that it doesn't mean there's only one way. But I'm going to help us understand why that's so important to grasp. Why it's so important to grasp. Why it's not an insensitive thing. It's a very positive message. It's a very encouraging word when Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. It should encourage us greatly. What does a first century Jewish hearer think of? What does a gate represent? Right? Let's ask the question. What does a gate represent? Obviously, a gate is the entrance to a city. And so, if you were to conquer a city, unless you have the equipment to do earthworks, you're going to have to take the gate. Right? So, ancient warfare and ancient civilizations, your gate represents security. So for them, it represented a communication. There is a narrow gate. There is a security that we need to be reminded of in the gospel. And I want to look at a verse to help us just see this. Because let's remind ourselves, in this world, we are looking for security. Right? That's why in the ancient world they would build walls, is for safety, is for security, to keep that which must be inside, inside safe, and to keep that which must be outside, outside. Right? And so we need to now say, okay, what does that mean for us today? Well, we actually still do the same thing. We still look for security. We no longer build gates, okay? But in our lives, we are looking for security. And we find security in things that are not Jesus. We find security in titles. We find security in finances, we find security in assets, we find security in financial planning, we find security in whose political party is in power and who is not, who is the president, who is not, who wins the fight, who does not. We find security, identity, something in this world we try and hold on to, and we say, will this make me feel safe? Sometimes we say, I'm in this church, that is my security. There's one church, people. We're a part of the body. There's one church. And so we find security in these things. And here is the invitation this morning. If we are to say that a gate represents, one of the first things it represents is a need for security. Here's a scripture I want to remind us of in Hebrews chapter 6. Let us give you security. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. He's talking about the heavenly tabernacle, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In this life, we can find security in Jesus Christ, and especially in two things. There's an empty cross and there's an empty grave. This gives us security. The empty cross says that my Savior paid the price and it is finished. The empty grave says it was enough for me to live in Him. And so we can find security not in what we own, not in what people call us, not in titles, not in our whatever power we may have, whatever it may be. We can find security in this truth that the cross is empty and so is the grave. And the high priest who was on the cross and in the grave is in heaven alive and is interceding for us. And that is my security. The one in whom I have put my trust is alive and he's still alive. It's 2,000 years, he's still alive. He's still in heaven interceding for us before the Father. And he's entered in. And that's where he stands. And so a narrow way is this. Our security is in Christ and Christ alone. And not in these titles and things that we want acknowledgement for, that we find security in this life. And then a gate represents something more. In the ancient world, if you come into the gate was a place of judgment. They would sit and the cases would be heard in the public sphere in this place of judgment. And so we still, mankind is still doing this. We've still built gates in our lives and we sit as judges. And like I preached the other day, we measure ourselves in an area and we measure ourselves in that area as good, and we want to judge others according to our measure, and we forget the measure you use will be used to judge you. Right? We had that illustration. Andre isn't here this morning, but we had that with a measuring tape. Who remembers that? Right? Helpful little illustration to make us remember that judgment is going to take place. And the measure you use will be measured against you. And so we can find as we come to this place where Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, because the world is obsessed with judging. We are obsessed with elevating ourselves over somebody else and finding some kind of security in that. I do this, I don't do that, I'm better, we do this better, we do that better. Even in church, we're obsessed with this. And so we come into this place, and what does this represent? And Jesus says it represents this. It represents this. The gate, the narrow gate, is a place of righteous judgment. I want to read a scripture here to help us just look at this again. It's from Acts. I just taking some snapshots for these ideas from the scripture this morning. It's not to say this is all there is, but it's just to help us to stimulate our thinking and to see why it is a good thing that the gate is narrow. The gate is one. And let's look at Acts chapter 17. Paul, at the end of his sermon to the Athenians at the Areopagus, he comes to this place and he's speaking to pagans who have an understanding that there must be judgment, right? And they are obsessed with their own measure of knowledge. Do they know enough that they have life? Paul comes and he says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, to turn from their own ways, making themselves judge, deciding for themselves what is right and wrong, being their own law. And he says, it's time for everyone to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And so we come to this place and we realize we are not the judge. And we put our trust in the one who on the cross was judged for our transgressions, who was slain for our trespasses, and who was judged worthy of the resurrection. And his life, being raised to life again, is confirmation for us. If we say we are in this gate and we realize we fall short of glory when we take the same measure that we have used in another area of our life, and we realize I may have some goodness here in my parenting, but here in my workplace, I do not measure up, and I am going to fall short of glory here. We can come and we can say, but there is one who has been judged, and he has been found righteous. And how can we have this certainty? How can we know that this is the only way if we put our trust in him? Because of the empty grave. Handed up for our transgressions, raised for our justification. And so if entering the gate is a space where we have an encounter with judgment, we can come and say, okay, I forget. I put down my judgment. I put my trust in the one who has been judged and raised to life. And then in him, I am now free from having to measure myself against my neighbor the whole time. Right? And we can see the narrow way, the narrow gate. And then, if we say that the gate represents to them, the hearers, the narrow gate, it represents security. Where are you putting your security in? Judgment. In whom have you placed your trust? Then there's a last one that the gate represents to them. Very interesting one. And it's from Scripture, because remember, he's talking to a Jewish audience, and it's this idea that we enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his presence with praise. We read Psalm 100 in the worship. And so there's a space, if we enter the narrow gate, where we can say, why does Jesus say it's a narrow gate? Because he says there's only one way to be restored to fellowship. You see, we are looking for fellowship. The whole creation cries out, there is a God. And so what we do is we try and fill our lives with a lot of things. We are looking for fulfillment, for fellowship. We're looking for that meaning. And so what we think is good, we just pursue everything that feels good. But here's the invitation. He says, no, hold on. If his gate represents security and it represents righteous judgment and we can be free, then it's also an invitation to fellowship. It's an invitation to restored fellowship with the Father. Peter, in Acts 2, in his sermon to the Jews, who were in Jerusalem at the time, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he says to them, at the end they cry out, he's preached Christ crucified to them, and they cry out, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? And he says the following, repent, once again, repent, turn. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. His person, his power, his presence. Be baptized into your dependence. Your confession is, I now trust, wholly and only, in Jesus' name. For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is the narrow gate, represents an invitation. That in Christ, because we receive his righteousness, we are able to receive his Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Because the world is trying to perform to be good enough. Because they want to judge and be judged right. But we come into a space and we say, oh, I've put my trust in the one who's raised to life, who's been judged faithful. And because I receive by faith his right standing before the Father, he is the one who was always obedient and never sinned. And so when the Spirit comes upon him, he remains. Right? And so here we are. We can receive the Holy Spirit. If we put our trust in Christ, we can have fellowship with our Father. Right? And so Paul, in my one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 8, comes to illustrate, in Romans chapter 8, he illustrates, once again, that's the way of the flesh, and the way of the flesh, that will always lead to death, but the way of the Spirit will lead to life. And he says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God, and that is to be our experience. If we enter into this narrow gate, if we put our trust in Jesus, we receive this free gift of the Holy Spirit on our lives, and we can fellowship with the Father in communion. It's what we are made for. Enter by the narrow gate. Only Christ gives us that access. The gate you enter into determines the way it will go. What Jesus is saying. It's your choice. This is something to remember here. If you enter into the wide gate, because what does the wide gate represent? It means the wide gate says, you want to bring whatever you want to bring, there's space. The gate's wide. You can bring it all. It's not shaped like Jesus. You want to find your security in your bank account? It's fine. Bring it. It's wide. There's enough room here. If you want to be judging and you are the judge, you will decide who is right and who is wrong. It's fine. Come. The gate is wide. You can enter here. You don't have to give that up. If you want to pursue everything in the flesh and do whatever you want, be a law unto yourself, it's fine. The gate is wide. It's open. You can go through here. And the way will be easy. Because that's the way the world goes. The world, John puts a little different spin on it. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things we can take with us through the wide gate. The wide gate is wide enough for the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But the world is passing away. It's what Jesus says here. That wide way, you will never be satisfied. the Bitcoin price might crash. The other president may win the election. You may be exposed in your judgment. You'll pursue everything in the flesh and will never satisfy. It'll never be life. Because it can only lead to death. It can only lead to destruction. And then he says, that is the way. But if you enter through the narrow gate, it is a hard way. And that word hard, different translations translate it hard or narrow, or it's a compressed way is what it says. It may be your experience that you are trying in this life, you're saying, I know that now, I mustn't go that way. And now here's the reality of experience. It feels like you're being compressed. That is the experience of Christianity. You may feel you're being compressed because the world is trying to form you to go the wide way. The world is trying to push you to go the wide way, the easy way. But God is forming you, he's transforming you into the narrow gate, into Christ. And so he makes all things work for the good of those who love him. And our good is to become more and more like him. And here's the truth of it. It's not just about it being a compressed and narrow way. It is the way that leads to life. We must not forget this. It may feel compressed, but in Christ's words, he says, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Because you've been created for a purpose. What is the outcome when we are not concerned about security, judgment, and we are in fellowship? Jesus uses the word life. In the worship, we look to at a verse. I think I want to read it for us. Galatians 6, verse 20, I think it was what was on there. In fact, can you just, Timo, can you put on that initial verses there? It was from Stephanie. I think it had Galatians 6:20 on it. 6:22. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ, the law of life. When we're on the narrow way together and we are running this trail, you know what I love about trail running is you can't ignore the other person because the trail's so narrow, you have to talk to them. Be like, can I come past? Are you doing okay? Are you doing okay? How are you doing? You know, and when they fall, they're in your way. You can't just be like, I'm on a PB here, man. Because the law of Christ is life. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Each one of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. This is life. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms, each one of you has been given grace in a different form so that we can love one another. The introduction to this series last week was this. The golden rule, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them in the narrow way. That is our experience. That is life. What an invitation. What an invitation. And that makes us free. When we are not concerned to try and earn our security, when we are not concerned about being judged any longer, when we are not concerned about being slaves to the flesh, it makes us free. The narrow way is a free way. It's the irony. It's a free way where we can love one another. And that is life. Let me bring this down. Let me bring this home. Jesus uses this figurative language because he's trying to reach areas in our life with the gospel of what he has done, who he is, that we're not usually aware of. And his goal every time is to save. The Son of Man came to seek and to find the lost. And in our lives, we may be finding that we are tempted to find our security in certain things. We are tempted to enter into that judgment seat. We are tempted to pursue the things of this life, of the flesh, because you're being compressed. And Jesus is reminding us here, I am the narrow gate. Come back to me. Enter through the narrow gate. Once again, put your trust in him. He is the one who is eternally alive. He is the one who will judge the living and the dead. You know where's the safest place in court? I go to court often. You know where the safest place in court is? It's the guy with the hammer. If you're in Christ, who's the man appointed to judge the living and the dead, do you think you're in a safe place on Judgment Day? I think so. And as we fellowship with the Father, as the Holy Spirit leads our spirit to cry out to him, we see one another and we fulfill what he has asked us to fulfill, to do unto others as we would want them, desire them to do unto us. Will you stand with me? Father, I thank you for this invitation to life, that you saw us in our destruction and you sent your only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him would not perish, would not suffer destruction, but would receive eternal life, Lord. And so in these areas in our lives, maybe there's an area of these three areas, in security or in judgment or in fellowship, that you have a need. The invitation is very simple. Turn. Turn from trying your own way and come back and receive freely that which has been purchased. Come through the narrow gate. But then continue through the narrow gate. Do not go alone. We are called to love one another in this life. And I want to invite you in this moment, if that is what the Lord is speaking to you about, that you would verbalize that to him. Say, Lord, here is something that I found my security in, and I give it to you. I come and I take hold of that which you have done. And then I pray, Holy Spirit, each one of us, that you would open our eyes to the life you have called us to. We are free from these things because of Christ. And so I pray for us to walk in love. Holy Spirit, you would lead us, because the fruit of the Spirit is love in all its various forms. Lord, that you would lead us to love one another, to love our enemies, to love our neighbor, because we love you, because you loved us first. So I pray that would be our experience of life as we turn to you and enter through the narrow gate. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.